Would you kindly take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 2? Tonight I want to share from this passage of Scripture in Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through 28, about handling the Word of God correctly. Handling the Word of God correctly. You know, many years ago, the Apostle Paul, as he writes to his son in the faith, Timothy, gave to him a very powerful exhortation. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, doing what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Dear people, if ever there was a time when the Word of God needed to be rightly divided, it is today. So many religions are on the rise, and so many people are being duped about what they hear. And so we need to be faithful to what God has entrusted to us through His Word. We must be very careful then when we share God's word that we do it correctly, that we don't add anything to it, that we don't take anything away from it. You probably, like I, have had opportunity to minister to people who belong to the cults, several of which go from door to door. And it's been my privilege to share with them, friends, you are adding to the Word of God what He has not put there. That is an anathema to God. There's only one gospel, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so it is our privilege to share the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the love of the Lord Jesus with others, so that they too might find faith in our Savior Jesus Christ. Tonight we're going to look in just a few verses, but in those few verses we are going to see a group of men who are mishandling the Word of God. And because they were mishandling the Word of God, people were being misled. And as they were misled, they were being injured. Would you kindly look with me then at Mark chapter 2, and we're reading verses 23 through 28. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" All through our Lord's just about 3.5 years of public ministry, there were many who were against him, primarily of the religious leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees, and then after the resurrection, the Sadducees came against the disciples of the Lord Jesus. They were against his teachings, against his daily living, against his wonderful miracles of grace as he touched people like you and me and made them whole. They chided him for what he said, for what he did. And it is these men, as we've read tonight in 23 through 28, that chided the Lord and his disciples as they walked through those grain fields. We are told in the Gospels that these religious leaders looked for anything that they could find of the Lord Jesus' life and teaching upon which they could pounce and say that he'd broken the law so that they could have reason to bring him before the high priest. And of course, we know that they lied. Well, in our passage here, they think they see the Lord Jesus breaking the Sabbath law And so now they are going to bring this to his attention. They don't do it in a kindly way. They do it because they want to see him defeated. But it's interesting, before carefully considering what the law said regarding this situation, they levied a judgmental decision against our Lord. And as I thought of this, this thought came to my mind. A critical spirit can often lead people to wrong conclusions. A critical spirit can often lead people to wrong conclusions. These men had critical spirits, and their critical spirits had led them to wrong conclusions regarding the Lord Jesus. Now, once again, look with me at verses 23 and 24. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through what? Grain fields. And as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said, "Look, why are they doing what is what? Unlawful on the Sabbath." Let me give a little quick little background of the countryside. The roads in first century Palestine were main arteries. And so when you got off these main arteries, you got on to these little paths that traverse through grain fields and pastures. Our Lord was used to walking on such fields. And as he traveled, we see that his disciples are doing something which these Pharisees say is violating the law of God. They say, "Your men and you are doing something which is contrary to Sabbath teaching." Now, what does the Bible tell us about the observance of the Sabbath? The Sabbath, of course, back then was when? Sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. So this is the time period in which it takes place. The word Sabbath transliterates a Hebrew word that refers to a certain ceasing of activity, a time of rest. We know that this was a day that was in honor of what God did as he rested from creating the heavens and the earth. In Genesis 2 and verse 3, we see this. It was a day that God set aside that man could rest from his labors, that man could remember the good things, the blessings that God had given to them, and how wonderful it was. And this was so important to the Lord, that this day of rest, not only for man but his animals, for the earth which he created, not only was this so important that he gave it to Moses on the mount in the Ten Commandments, "You shall honor the Lord your God by taking this day of rest." But we see here that the problems which the Pharisees are now facing was not that Jesus actually broke the Sabbath law. Our Bibles tell us that Jesus fulfilled all of the law. He didn't miss one thing, every jot, every tittle. He took care of it all. But their problem is that they were basing their judgment of the Lord Jesus on their hundreds of years of rabbinical teaching, which added to the Ten Commandments which God had given. They even forbade travel beyond 3,000 feet on the Sabbath day. You know, these guys weren't dumb. They knew what they were doing. If they knew that they couldn't go to wherever they needed to be within 3,000 feet on the Sabbath, guess what they did the day before? They would walk, and then they would place a stick. And then from the stick on is where the 3,000 feet were. So they went well beyond the 3,000 feet, but not beyond the stick to 3,000 feet. That way, they were above the law. But they held everybody to that law. They themselves would not obey. Now, it was common knowledge, according to Deuteronomy chapter 23, that if someone was traveling on the Sabbath and they had fallen short of food, that they could go through grain fields and they could pick the grain and they could, as it were, thresh it in their hands. That was permitted by God. They could satisfy their hunger. But as the Pharisees saw the Lord's disciples rubbing the grain in their hands, they said that this was a form of threshing that was against the law. The only form of threshing in the law that God forbade on the Sabbath was that you could not do on the Sabbath what you did those other 6 days. You could not do on the Sabbath in threshing to make a living. You had to completely rest from that. But the Lord's disciples weren't threshing to make a living. They were threshing to take care of the hunger that was in their hearts. Well, what was the greatest problem with these Pharisees who have come against the Lord Jesus? And here's why I say you have to handle the Word of God correctly. They were putting on par with the Word of God their rabbinical teachings, which went against the Word of God. You can never improve upon the Word of God. And yet down through the centuries, we have seen men come up with religions. Men have come up with teachings from the Word of God, which they say coincides with everything He has given, but which is false. It's interesting, as you look back into the Old Testament, that these men who had separated themselves to God to be the leaders of the nation of Israel, God said that they were to be shepherds of His people, that they were not only to give out the right word, the correct word is handed down from God through Moses, but they were to live the kind of lives that honored the Lord and that could be a testimony to others, that could bring people to the Lord as they saw their lives. But it's interesting that from years back, even Jeremiah had this to say about the religious leaders of Israel. In Jeremiah 50, verse 6, he says this: "My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray and caused them to roam on the mountains. They wandered over mountain and hill and forgot their own resting place." Even back in Jeremiah's day, these religious leaders had so taken away the truth of the Word of God that instead of the people of Israel finding rest in the Lord their God, they were scattered. They did not have peace in their hearts. They could not find God. And instead of having peace, they were in bondage. They had no freedom. The Lord Jesus Christ, as we know from God's Word, is the only one that can bring rest to a searching heart. Amen? It's not religion. I have people tell me, even people here tell me at TFB, what my kids need is to come back to church. I understand what they're saying. But what their kids need more than church is who? They need Jesus Christ. They need to be born again in Jesus' name. They need to have their sins forgiven. They need to have the unadulterated truth of God's Word taking up residence in their lives. And these men who were castigating the Lord Jesus with their words had now done away with that which God had given to Moses. And they were now saying to the Lord Jesus that He and His disciples were incorrect in how they were living. No, these men were not handling the Word of God correctly. It's interesting, as you look to the life of the Lord Jesus and you see these men coming against Him, though He does speak strongly to them. In fact, in Matthew 23, just prior to going to the cross, look back tonight at Matthew 23 and see what He says to men such as this. How He tells them that they search throughout the world. They're blind leaders of the blind. And when they find somebody to follow them, He says, "You make them twice the son of hell as yourselves." Though He did speak strongly, He didn't argue with them. Instead, He directed them to the clear teaching of God's Word. The clear teaching of God's Word. Look once again, verses 25 and 26. In response to their statement, Jesus answered, Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Now, very quickly, there's what some people would call a discrepancy. If you look back into the Old Testament, into 1 Samuel 21, the one who is the high priest is Ahimelech, not Abiathar. But God's word is always true. And there's a very reasonable explanation why David says Abiathar rather than Ahimelech. The phrase in the days can also be translated during the lifetime of. Ahimelech was the high priest. He was the one that gave the showbread to David and his companions. But his son was Abiathar, who became high priest in his father's place after his father died. And Abiathar was a very close companion of David. And we believe that Mark put this into his gospel so that people would know exactly who it is that he's talking about who was with David at that time. I want to encourage us in something that I'm already aware you know. You and I can bank on the word of God, can we not? Amen. I didn't hear a real good amen. Amen. Can we bank on the word of God? Amen. We can. There are those who would say that God's word has discrepancies. I beg their pardon. At times we may need to do some extra what I call spade work to uncover the depth of the meaning of a name, a word, an apparent contradiction, or a happening. But the answer is there. At all times, we can trust God's word. Why? Because as the Old Testament says, God is not a man that he should lie. God's word is absolutely trustworthy. We can rest our life on it for time and eternity. He does not fail. And his word does not fail. Now, they level a charge against Jesus. What your men are doing, and in essence what you're doing, because they belong to you, you're going against the Mosaic law. Jesus doesn't argue. He just clearly gives to them the word of his Father. But why does he bring up David? Why does he bring up him receiving the showbread? There were 12 loaves within the tabernacle there on the table. One loaf for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And through the week, as those 12 loaves were eaten, a fresh 12 loaves were given in their place. Now, according to the law, those loaves of bread were really just meant for the priests. But now, here's the thing. David was God's anointed. He was running from Saul and his cohort who were after David to kill him. God was protecting David. God was providing for David. God did not want David to starve. And it's interesting that nowhere in Scripture is David condemned for eating the bread that was on that table. But then, lastly, after clearly pointing out the truth of the Old Testament scriptures, our Lord then says this. He places the correct emphasis of the Sabbath as given by God himself. You men say that you're the leaders of Israel. You say that you are the religious shepherds who are bringing the people to God, whereby they might have his peace in their lives and enjoy what he has planned for them. You do not know what you are teaching. Even more than that, men, you know what you are not teaching. And I'm going to give to you the true meaning of the Sabbath according to God the Father through his prophet Moses. Look at verses 27 and 28. Then he said to them, the Sabbath was what? Made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. In other words, Almighty God has instituted the Sabbath rest to benefit man so that they might have this rest from their labors, that they might reflect on God's blessings to him. One of the sad things that you and I can do when we come into the house of God is to bring all of our troubles with us, is to sit down in these pews, and instead of letting the Spirit of God speak to us through the music of God and through the Word of God, we have all of these things bound up in our hearts, and when we leave, we maybe haven't really listened to what God's Word says. God wanted His people to have this day of rest. The Sabbath was made for them, not them for the Sabbath. Rest, reflect, rejoice. You belong to me. But sadly, the Pharisees turned it into a burden and made man a slave to their myriad of man-made regulations. And these man-made regulations crushed the very spiritual spirits of the people of Israel to the point that they could no longer find God. And that's why Jesus in Matthew 11, instead of going to the nation, he now turns to the individual within the nation. And in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, he said, "Come unto me, all you who what? Labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and gentle of heart, and you shall find what? Rest for your souls." These man-made burdens that the Pharisees put on others, again, crushed the very spirits of the people. That's why it is so tremendously important that when people come into contact with you and me, that we don't make this relationship with God something that we do, but someone we receive, which is Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior. But the Lord didn't lead it there as he talked to them that day, no. In verse 28, he sums up with a claim that I'm sure absolutely hit these Pharisees right between the eyes. Look at verse 28. Jesus said, "So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." What's Jesus saying? He's saying that he, the Son of Man, is greater than the Sabbath itself, and he's telling them that he is God. You think you have the answer. You have your little man-made regulations. It binds people up. I'm the Son of Man, the one whom your Old Testament scriptures prophesy, the Messiah who is to come. I am greater than your Sabbath laws. I'm God Himself. Wow. What a declaration that was. And based on that authority, Jesus could in fact reject all of those Pharisaic regulations concerning the Sabbath and restore God's original intention for Sabbath observance to be a blessing to his people, not a burden. Wow. Wow. There's a great application for us here as we close tonight. So many people think they know what the Word of God is all about, but they don't. They don't know. They have heard misrepresentations of God's Word. They have heard outright lies as to what God's Word teaches, but they've not really heard the truth. If these dear people, like the people alive in Jesus' day, who were misled by the Pharisees and other religious leaders, if the people of today are to hear the truth, who must they hear it from? They must hear it from us, dear people. They must hear it from us. That's why it is so important for us to read God's word, to study God's word, to hide God's word in our hearts, to proclaim it correctly, to hide its truths in our hearts, and to live it out. The world doesn't know that God loves them. So many of the world, all they hear of God is God's name in curse. They take God's name in vain when something bad happens. That's all they think of God. For God, what? So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So just like on that day when Jesus was with his disciples in the grain fields, and people came with misrepresentations of the truth of God's word, the people of today need to hear a fresh, clear declaration of what God really says in his word. God loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. He's given of himself that your sins might be forgiven, and that through faith in his name, you not only have the forgiveness of sins, you not only have his peace in your heart, but you are adopted into his very own family. He gives you his power source for daily living, the Holy Spirit, and he promises you a home in heaven. And until then, he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. What a message. Amen? Amen. What a message. That's the message that you and I can give to others. Yes, it is all about handling the Word of God correctly. And of course, Jesus, the Son of God, always handled it correctly. And he invites us to handle it correctly as we minister to others in his name. Now, we don't know about those Pharisees. We don't know if any of those men later on came to faith in Jesus Christ. Acts tells us that there were Pharisees who did come to faith in Christ. We don't know if any of those men that day were among that number. But you know what? They can never say that they never heard. I remember I was in Miles Square Park in Santa Ana. It's a huge park, as Mile Square indicates. And there was a great festival of people there that were living very licentious lives. And I, with some of my church members, went to that park to lovingly, graciously share the Word of God with them. There were two men, others, that came up to me. They were spitting in my face. They were very unkind. They just were letting it fly. But God gave me the grace and the love to share with them who Jesus Christ is and what he can do in their lives. They did some things that were very uncouth as they walked away from me. Of course, all of their friends clapped. You got the victory. And then some people that I did not know, brothers and sisters in Christ, were off to the side, and they just turned to me and said, you know what, brother? They can never say that they never heard the truth. They heard the truth. You and I cannot make people believe. The Holy Spirit speaks to the heart. And when he speaks to the heart, it's up to that person to receive what he says. We can pray. we can live out, we can share with them as God opens the door, but the decision is there before the Lord. But you know, we, by God's grace, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we want to do our best to show, proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ in his love and in his grace, that even though they get in our faces, they will never be able to say to the Father, I never heard. For if we respond as Jesus did, clearly, graciously, it's up to them to respond. The question to us tonight, are we ready to proclaim? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he is not only our awesome Savior, God the Son, but he is our greatest example of how to share with others your truth. Lord, help us to follow in your footsteps this week. We humbly ask for the privilege to share with others who you are, so that the misconceptions or the outright lies that they may have heard about your word could be cleared away, and that they too could come to faith in the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.